Well, good morning. Welcome to worship, everyone, at St. Matthew's. Good to have you here. A warm welcome also to those watching online. Some of you will be watching live online from YouTube. Give us a wave if you're doing that. Give us a wave if you're watching live from Facebook. Yes, excellent. Nigel's apparently in the pianist doing both of those things, which is good. And if you're watching it another time, you have to move. We can't have them. Yeah, you can't have that many in a pew, sorry. Yes, good to have you all here. We are observing our 2 meter distancing, we are observing our bubbling and all those sorts of other things to stay safe. But it's lovely that we can be here together to worship God. We're going to have some words come up on the screen. Usual rule, the words come up in yellow if you're saying them. They come up in white if I'm saying them. And the first thing we are going to do is light the second of our Advent candles. So some words are going to come up on the screen this very moment, possibly, hopefully. But if not, I'm just going to say them anyway, because that's what we did earlier, and it was worked perfectly well. So let's say this together. Let's stand as well. And we say together, as we light this second candle, Prince of Peace, reveal yourself to us today. We seek peace in our lives, our homes, our families, the church, and the world. Help us to slow down and discover the peace you provide, so we in turn can become peacemakers. In your name, Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen. And I'm going to try and light these two candles. A bit more successfully than I did earlier. Brilliant. We have two candles alight. So I'm going to say to you, may the light and love of Christ be with you and also with you. Thank you very much. We are going to have our first song now. I'd sit down probably if I were you, I reckon. As I said, we can't join in singing. I think we may have some singers come up to sing. But you can follow the words, please. The words can have a new meaning if you're not confused by the tune. So we share in the hymn together, All Earth Was Dark, an Advent hymn. Thank you. Over the last few weeks, when we have been worshipping online entirely, there has been a number of occasions when people have texted or WhatsApped or whatever and said, we've been saying the prayer, bless this mess, when the technology hasn't quite worked or when other things have gone wrong. So I thought it was appropriate that as we come back together, that would be our confession this morning. So just so we remember how to do it, when the words that come up, dear God, the response, please, is bless this mess. So we'll have a few moments just to think about what we want to bring to God in our confession, and then we will join in with these words. So let us confess our sins to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry that because we are often careless, we have spoiled your world. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because people are sometimes angry and jealous, there are wars and violence. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because we are greedy, many of the good things in the world are not shared around fairly to all people. Dear God, bless this mess. We are sorry that because we are thoughtless, we upset our friends and families and you. Dear God, bless this mess. Father God, thank you that you can change the mess we make into good things, and that you will always forgive us when we say sorry. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. So we are at the second Sunday of Advent. We've got two candles lit, but also we are having birthdays for December. So there's somebody walking in at this very moment who has a December birthday. I happen to know. Alex, you've got a December birthday, haven't you? Alex, are you going to tell me how old you are? No. Alex, how old are you going to be this month? Six. You're going to be six. Fantastic. Who else has a December birthday? Daniel, you're going to be 11 on the same day as Alex. That's a remarkable coincidence. They're almost like twins. Anybody else in the congregation who's going to admit? Harriet, yes, I was going to come to you. Harriet's got a birthday in December. Anyone else with a December birthday? There is an obvious person with a December birthday. Anybody? The obvious? Jesus, thank you. Yes, excellent. But we also have Phoebe and Melissa, we sang to earlier. Nigel Hendry's coming over from November. Johnny is going to be 9 on the 23rd. Oliver Eves is having a birthday. So lots of people with December birthdays. I wonder, would you mind standing on the pew for us, Daniel? Alex, would you mind standing on the pew? Harriet, go on. You know you want to. Good. Excellent. Well, we can't sing it, but we will nevertheless listen to it as we celebrate the birthdays for all the people I've mentioned, and particularly these three in church and Jesus. Thank you, Nigel. And Nigel Hendry from November, and Johnny and Oliver Eves. Brilliant, thank you very much for that. I hope you have great birthdays. I don't know what birthdays are like at the moment. I won't go into that. They're probably all very different, aren't they? But hopefully you'll enjoy them nevertheless. Excellent. We are going to have our Bible reading now, and Brian is going to read to us. Thank you, Brian.
hooked up at the moment with my glasses, sorry. The reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to divorce her quietly. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. "A virgin will be with child and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do, but he had no union with her before she gave birth to her son. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brian. Well, I just want to have a little bit of a think about being afraid. Ever been afraid? Be surprised if anybody could say they'd never been afraid. So I want to tell you a story about a little girl. She wanted to be brave. Her teacher told her that she had to do battle with fear. She didn't want to do that. Seemed too scary. But the teacher said she would have to one day. The day arrived. The girl stood on one side, and fear stood on the other. The girl was feeling very small, and fear was looking very big. The girl went toward fear and fell on her knees. Then the young girl said, "How do I defeat you, fear?" Fear replied, "I win because I talk fast and loud, and I get very close in your face. That upsets you, and then you do whatever I say. If you don't do what I tell you, then I have no power over you. You can listen to me and even think I may be right, but if you don't do what I say, I have no power." Then fear looked sad. "In fact, you've done the best thing you could do to defeat me. You have fallen on your knees. If you do that and pray to God, who made you and loves you, I will always be defeated." The girl got up and knew how to be brave in future. I think you might have a little think about that in your groups, which you're going to go to after our action song. We are going to act. The great thing about action songs is they can't stop us doing action songs. They can't stop us doing the actions of action songs, is what I mean. So we are going to either listen or, but definitely act to, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So can we remember the actions? How does it start? Blessed be the name. We clap, don't we? We could clap. "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Lots of repeats. "Blessed be the name of the Most High." Right, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Woo-hoo. And then we do that again and then we repeat it. And then every time we come to blessed or glory or holy, we clap. It's very easy. It gets you warm. It gets you on your feet. So why not stand up and let's do this together. Well done, Jess. Don't you all feel better for doing that? Thank you very much. Can you sit down? We are now going to send children to their children's groups. So if you are an explorer, so that means you are aged between 7 to 11, year groups 3 to 6, would you go to the back and go where you are sent? You ought to, yeah, as far as you can. Staying apart from others and all those things I meant to tell you to do. Good to have you all here. I hope you have a great time. I bet you will. We could even have the nice next slide up because it's our children's kit groups staying together meeting. Brilliant. Now, if you are either a Pathfinder, so you're 11 and up, or you're 5 and down, or even 7 and down, then head to the back as well and have a good time. Excellent. Great. Nice to see you all. You'll have your hands squirted. And brilliant. So it's good, isn't it, to be able to see our children going off and enjoying some time together. We thank our leaders particularly for continuing children's groups back again. Just a few notices to say thank you to those who offered to deliver some flyers. If you haven't picked them up, they're at the back. Maybe go round and come back in to pick them up or wait till everybody's left and pick them up at the end. Please, that would be good. If you're hosting the Posada, please do remember to send some photographs into Julie so we can put some photographs of the Posada travelling around the parish on the website. That would be good. Only two nights remaining for people to book up for the Posada, please. Also to say rotas. Yes, more services over Christmas, so and more welcomers and sides people needed for each service. So please, if you come to St Matthew's and you haven't got a medical reason why you can't, it would be really good if you volunteered for at least one shift on the rota, or preferably more. All you need to do is go to the website, go to the COVID page, and right at the top it talks about sign on the sign-up genius. If you can't do that, if it's all too technical, just let me know, just let Jackie know, just let the office know. Please just volunteer. It will just mean we're not worried about having cover. And if you are volunteering for a ticketed service, because some of our services are having to be ticketed, you will still need to get a ticket, because we reckon you'll still want to sit with your bubble and you'll have to book as a bubble. So just because you've gone on the rota doesn't mean you naturally get into the church. You will need to please book your ticket, and you will get a flyer as you go out to tell you all about the services and what's happening. So I hope that's clear. Just one question I wanted to ask. 27th is the last day of the bubble and the first Sunday after Christmas. Are people thinking, I'd like to see my bubble for the last time, or I want to come to church both at 9 o'clock and at 10:30. I don't know quite how you, who's thinking, who knows that they wouldn't be there on the 10:30 on the Sunday? A number of you, okay. We're just trying to work out whether we have a 9 o'clock and a 10:30 service. We'll have to try and work that out from that show of hands, but thank you for that, that was useful. I'd like some readers for the carol service, especially younger readers. That would be great. If you want to volunteer, please do let me know as soon as you can. Otherwise, you'll get a notice sheet on your way out. Lots of notices. Please have a read and react to them appropriately. Thank you for that nice picture of flyers and Posada, just to encourage people on that. Phew. We are now going to have our creed. So can I invite you, please, to stand as we speak together of the God in whom we delight and who delights in us. In creation, there is an author, and there is order and pattern and love. That love is dynamic and pulsating. The Father sent his only Son to earth because matter matters. We matter. Jesus' example is one of urgent, generous grace. Because of him, God patiently wipes our slate clean over and over again. Jesus simply tells us to follow him. The Spirit of God in the present world, past and future, essence and action. It is transformative in love and hope. So should the church be. Certain hope of a future beyond death, which begins in life as the kingdom breaks in, here and now. Amen. Thank you, do sit down. As I explained last week, I believe that Advent and the virus coming together this year can inspire us to contemplate a new normal, as the characters at the first Christmas were compelled to do. So in 3 weeks of Advent, and next week we have the Nativity play, which is underway, and Will is doing a grand job, I gather, on making it ready for next Sunday. But in the 3 weeks when we're not doing that, we're considering the appearance of angels in the run-up to Christmas and their angelic instructions not to be afraid. Last week we thought about Zechariah, the future, who was the father of John the Baptist, who was visited by the angel Gabriel in the temple and told not to be afraid because, as Gabriel said, your prayers have been answered. And the prayers that Zechariah was giving up were for his wife and he, Elizabeth, they were both old and childless. He would have been praying for years that they might have a child. And he would also have been praying on behalf of the people of Israel, waiting for a savior. And in parallel, Gabriel confirmed that both of those prayers were going to be answered. Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son, and the savior, the Messiah, would be coming soon. And so we thought about how for both Zechariah and Elizabeth and for the people of Israel, they were on the cusp of something new and tremendous, provided they had the openness and the ability to welcome new possibility rather than to fear danger. I suggested last week that the future needn't be awful, but instead awe-filled. Now, all these men and women, the people of Israel, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were all, as we call it, in a position of liminality between the old and the new. The word comes from liminal. It's a Latin word meaning a threshold, sort of between two rooms or two places. But in these more modern times of pandemic, perhaps we could use a different word other than liminal. We might use the word portal, albeit with other strong Latin roots. And that's what the writer Arundhati Roy did. And I want to share with you some of the words she wrote on. She wrote early on in the pandemic. This is what she said. I think it's great. Whatever it is, the virus has made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality. Listen to this bit. Trying to stitch our future to our past and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But she goes on to say the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink for ourselves. Nothing could be worse than a return to normality. The virus is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We can choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice, our hatred, our avarice behind us. Or we can walk through lightly with little luggage, ready to imagine another world and ready to fight for it. And I suggest that's what Joseph is doing, and we're going to unpack why and how he's doing it. Now, remember that Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy of Jesus, going right back to Abraham. And in that genealogy, there's mention of five women. So we know Matthew isn't trying to sort of erase women from the story, but he almost seems to in the story of how he describes the birth. We'll see why that's true later on. So as our story got underway, as Brian read, we actually had a lot of background, didn't we, before we had an encounter. We heard how Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, which under the law made them as good as married. Any infidelity then was equivalent to adultery, for which the punishment under the law was death. And we're told that Joseph was a righteous or a just man, so we'd imagine that he would follow the letter of the law. But before he knew about the circumstances surrounding Mary's pregnancy, we're told that Joseph actually decided he wouldn't take Mary to the law. He wouldn't disgrace her publicly. Instead, he would quietly divorce her. Now, Joseph's decision here is crucial for two reasons. On a very basic level, it means that Mary lived, and so did her unborn child, because she didn't receive the punishment which the law might have meted out to her, and which many other people would have thought was her due. And secondly, it's important because it actually encapsulates the dilemma which Matthew is going to highlight throughout his gospel. Now, Matthew, remember, was a good Jew, and the themes of obedience to the law and the fulfillment of the law are crucial throughout his writing. But this early on, he's putting out a real marker. In the first chapter, we see that there's being ushered in a new and a higher righteousness, higher and more important than the law. It's the kingdom of God. Because Matthew shows us that Joseph is about to live the heart of the law and not the letter. And yet he still calls Joseph a righteous man. And that's headline news in a way that we just can't really get our heads around nowadays. But anyway, the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. And once again, the first words we read in Matthew's gospel, just as in Luke's, the first direct speech are the angel's words, this time to Joseph, "Do not be afraid." What the angel is really saying is code for, "Don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife." But it's also code for, "Don't be afraid to do something unusual, something against your culture and your understanding, something against your sense of what is right." When the angel tells Joseph not to be afraid, both the angel and Joseph have very different understanding of what's happened. But they both have the same thing in mind. They want the safety and protection of Mary and the unborn child. Now, of course, the angel knows what Joseph doesn't know. Knows that the baby is not the result of Mary having been unfaithful, but is actually the result of God being faithful to his people. So the angel is not only saying, "Don't be afraid of the gossip and the snide comments, Joseph," but also, "Don't be afraid of what your heart is telling you to do." Joseph, this just man, was on the brink of adopting a new way of living and thinking, acting in response to God's loving nature, rather than in response to human indignation and the force of the law. No wonder Joseph needed some encouragement and courage for that great sea change in thinking. Do not be afraid. So what we have at the beginning of this Matthew's gospel, it's a birth story, but it's not the sort of birth story you're thinking about. We're not so much reading about the birth of a baby. The modest role of Mary in the narrative points to that. Instead, we are witnesses to the birth of a new way of living, the ushering in of a new kingdom. That's why the angel told Joseph not to be afraid. To return to that piece from Arundhati Roy, was Joseph's mind longing for a return to the normality by which he'd lived his life so far? Probably yes. How could he stitch his future, which was going to be about attending to the voice of God, to his past, which had been about sticking to the law as a righteous, God-fearing Jew? What would his new normal look like? It would include a son who was biologically not his, and it would certainly include uncertainty and change. Could it continue to include him as remaining a righteous and obedient man? The answer to that is yes. For whatever Joseph might have felt, we read that he was obedient to the angel's instructions. And the child was born and was named Jesus. Now, that was a popular name of the time, so this baby was not singled out by his name, but just by everything else about him. And by taking him as his son, Joseph is bringing him within his own family, the Davidic line. Jesus was born the Son of God through Mary and became the adopted son of David through Joseph's obedience. Joseph's view from his place of liminality, his portal, was uncomfortable, to put it mildly. But with God's help, he was able to walk lightly with little luggage, not weighed down by the burden of fulfilling the law. He was ready to imagine another world which reflected God's nature of loving. And he was ready to fight for it. I wonder if we're ready to give up something we're used to in obedience to God this Advent. Are we calling him? Are we hearing him call us perhaps to give up something about ourselves, about our behavior, something that will mean that we're on the cusp of something new, something where we're being asked to see the possibilities of something new? Do we need to hear the angel's encouragement to us? Do not be afraid. afraid. Amen. We're going to turn now to prayer, and Jen is going to lead us.
Let's pray. The response when I say, Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. We thank you, gracious God, for the words we have heard today about Joseph's encounter with the angel of the Lord. We thank you for Joseph's faithfulness, despite the fear and discomfort he must have felt. We thank you for his obedience, his courage to trust in you and to do your will, for his being able to walk lightly with little luggage and imagine another world. We think of those times in our own lives when things have not happened in the way we have planned. We think especially of this as many of us face a very different kind of Christmas, perhaps without the same opportunities to see family and friends safely. We do mourn those times that we have lost this year. But Father God, we ask that you will help us to see that you can turn disappointment and doubt into opportunity and faith. Let us allow you to work in our lives and in our hearts, that we may respond with faith, patience, and courage when plans go awry. Help us to continue to bless you in the middle of our storms and trials. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us hear afresh these words of Scripture that our God reveals, our God illuminates, our God is not overcome. We pray today for all those in darkness, in the darkness of grief, the darkness of loneliness, the darkness of sickness in body or mind. We pray for those who are struggling in the dark, unable to see any light or hope in their lives. And we may bring to mind just one person now in the silence. It may be ourselves. We know that there are those in our community and across our country who are living in the darkness of poverty, not knowing how they might feed their children or themselves this week. Those who are living in the darkness of fear and anxiety, perhaps at home, in their workplace, or just through their own consuming thoughts. Those who are living in the darkness of violence and injustice. Lord, you brought light and life into a world of darkness, ushering in a new kingdom by the birth of a baby boy 2,000 years ago. In Jesus, we find the one in whom all history speaks and all expectation waits. As we anticipate the celebration of his birth, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, your light came into the world to redeem and to save. Help us to be bearers of your light, witnesses to your saving love, and ambassadors of love, peace, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks this week for the life-saving work of scientists across the globe and the hope of vaccination, particularly to protect those who are most vulnerable. We pray for all leaders to make wise and just decisions, benefiting those who need help the most, and ensuring fair and equal access to vaccines. We pray today for all those who continue to work for the good of others, for health workers tending the seriously ill, for supermarket workers and delivery drivers, for teachers and staff at schools across the country, for those who work in the emergency services, for the millions of unpaid carers who look after loved ones tirelessly each day. Lord, we ask for all these people that you be their strength, shield, and provision. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we journey through this season of Advent, we recognize that we are a world in waiting, a world ravaged by the climate emergency, which is affecting the poorest in our world the most, a world where millions live under oppressive regimes without the freedom to do those things that we take for granted, a world where violence, hunger, and disease means that for some, every day is a fight for survival. Heavenly Father, our world in waiting waits for you. We wait for you with the full assurance of the living hope that your Son brings to this world. And Lord, as we wait, please raise up your church to be your well-washed hands and faithful feet, and to be present to the pain, to respond with love in action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And our collect for today. Almighty God, purify our hearts and minds, that when your Son, Jesus Christ, comes again as Judge and Saviour, we may be ready to receive him, who is our Lord and our God. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Are coming back, do come back, children, and come and find your parents so you could go home with the right ones. Others may seem preferable, but in reality, they're probably not. Great, just a couple of things to say about getting tickets for services. This is all new to us. So if you go on the website and it doesn't work or it crashes or something, I'm really, really sorry. As I say, you know, we're just doing our best. Don't get cross with us. Bear with us, please. We will do what we can. And if you are not an online person, that is absolutely fine. May I suggest you give me a telephone call and I will book it for you. Or if you're not a very web person, but you do emails or texts, you could text Julie or me or the office or someone. So everybody is able to book tickets. Please don't think that if you're not online, you're somehow prejudiced. You are not. You just need to pick up the phone to me, please. And we will sort that out for you. I think that is about all. So we are come to our last hymn this morning, which is Meekness and Majesty. Just to say, when we leave, can I please suggest that I think somebody is going to marshal you leaving. So we will maintain 2 meters apart from people, and we will do it by leaving from the front. Although, David, I suggest you stay to the end if you're all right. So let's leave from the front when you're asked to go through that door. I'll give you a leaflet and a notice sheet. And as I say, if you are able to, is there any flyers on that dotty cloth or not? It's all gone. No, it's all right. So it's just a couple of people, I think, who you were expecting to pick up flyers. They're there, so yours is there. Brilliant. Okay, thank you so much. Let's stand and let's share the words together of meekness and majesty. So we come to our final prayer of blessing. May God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, give you grace to prepare for life eternal. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen.